Hello, my love, and welcome back to another episode of the Queen of Pep Talks podcast. I am so freaking happy that you are here. I am in a wonderful mood today. My husband is homesick from work. He's not feeling too good, which means I'm responsible for the first time in a very long time to cook his meals. I'm not a great cook. He does almost all of our cooking, but I snuck away for the afternoon so I could record a couple of podcast episodes. And today I want to talk to you about emotional hunger versus true hunger. I don't know if you relate, but I lived the large majority of my life using food as an emotional coping mechanism. I used a lot more than just food. There was a period of my life where I used marijuana as an emotional coping mechanism. There was a period of my life where I used men as an emotional coping mechanism. The thing about me was I wanted to do anything and everything that I could to avoid feeling my feelings. So from a very young age, I realized that my life was very chaotic. And the first time that I probably realized myself really turning to food was when I was about 10 years old and my parents had been separated, but my dad made a decision to move 22 hours away to Louisiana. And I remember conversations that I had to have with my parents and my siblings and all of these emotions coming up within me. Like, I can close my eyes and see these scenes from my life as if they were yesterday. And I really remember, number one, just like not wanting to feel them because they felt so uncomfortable. But number two, not wanting to express them because I saw the person who was my caretaker, my mom, I saw her in such an emotionally distraught place herself that I felt like I didn't want to be a burden by sharing my emotions with her and making her hurt more than she already was. So what I started doing was looking for ways that I could avoid feeling what I was feeling. And it was really easy for me to use food as a way to recognize, oh, wow, I can eat this and I can feel a moment of peace or a moment of satisfaction or a moment of enjoyment where it takes me somewhere other than feeling what I was currently feeling. And I got into a habit throughout my life in turning to food when I was feeling any and every emotion that you could imagine. From my memory, my own recollection of my life, it started with using food for negative feelings and emotions, but then it just kind of became habitual where I was using food for everything. Something amazing could be happening in my life and it was like, ooh, let's celebrate this with food. Or something terrible in my life could be happening and it was like, okay, how can I use food to kind of suppress this or avoid this or allow myself to feel a better feeling without having to sit in my shit? And the truth is, sitting in your shit is one of the hardest things that you will ever do in your life. When you are used to using food for emotional reasons and you stop allowing that to be the way that you show up in your life, you stop giving yourself the permission to do that, you stop justifying that behavior, you decide that you want to be somebody other than an emotional eater, you're kind of like, oh, fuck, like, what do I actually do now? Like, how do I not go to food, but allow myself to feel what I'm feeling? And what I see happen with so many people is food is the crutch. And then when food is gone, they start looking for another crutch. What can be the thing? And it's social media, or it's alcohol, or it's drugs, or it's men, or it's whatever, fill in the blank, whatever the thing is that you're going to avoid coping with your emotions. I really want to encourage you to work on that. I know that feeling the uncomfortable feelings is just that, it's uncomfortable and it doesn't feel good. But the perspective that I have taken in my life is the good can only feel as good as it feels if I allow myself to experience the things that don't feel that great. And I know that I've shared this message with you before, but everything that you're going through in your life, every single thing that you're feeling is temporary. And just like we want the incredible moments of our lives to last forever, they don't. So it's knowing that this too shall pass and giving yourself the permission to just sit in what you're feeling without looking for how can I find a way to hurry up and make this go away because it feels uncomfortable. Uncomfortable isn't going to kill you. Continuing to try and run from the discomfort, you may find yourself doing things that are actually going to harm your physical health. So today I want to talk to you about the difference between emotional hunger versus true hunger. And the reason I want to share this with you is because you may not even realize that you are emotionally eating. If you're somebody who maybe just overconsumes, or you think that you're boredom eating, or you think that you're stress eating, it might be hard for you to differentiate what true hunger feels like versus when you're feeling an emotion or feeling a feeling and then you're turning to food food in response to that. And the truth about this is identifying your true hunger and really getting back in touch with the intuitive part of you. It takes time and it takes practice. And a lot of times, many of us are all or nothing thinkers where we feel as though, oh, if I don't get this right away, or oh, if it doesn't click right away, or oh, if I decide I'm going to be an intuitive eater and then I'm not an intuitive eater within a week, then this must not be working. So what's the point in continuing to try? And the reality is, no relationship in your life is perfect, and your relationship with food isn't going to be either. Even as an intuitive eater, there are still going to be times where you eat when you're not truly hungry, or you overeat beyond your satisfaction. That's just a part of being human. One of the biggest pieces of healing my relationship with food for me was learning to disassociate food from any negative emotion. So now, even if I overeat, or now even if I have a snack when I know I'm not truly hungry, there's no shame or guilt or disappointment in myself. It's really been removing all of the emotion that's been tied to food, because for so much of my life, food felt like this big, almighty, powerful thing that ruled my life. And that was exhausting. I spent day in and day out thinking about food, when I could eat, when I couldn't eat. Could I eat this? Could I not eat this? How is this going to affect the number on the scale the next morning? How is this going to affect the way that I felt about myself? Was I a good girl that day, or was I a bad girl that day? And quite honestly, I got sick of all of that shit. I got so sick of feeling like my world revolved around food, because life is so much bigger than that. And if this is resonating with you, a reminder that Ditch the Diet is starting in January, and that would be a really powerful program to help anchor in some of the truths that I'm going to kind of drop on you throughout this podcast. It's a brand new program. It's going to be 3 weeks long. It's going to be a mix of live and pre-recorded trainings, as well as Zoom calls for personalized coaching, and of course, a workbook. You can click the link in the show notes of this episode if you're interested in that program. It's the first time I'm ever running this program. Not sure if it's going to be a repeat program or not. I'm thinking probably not. It's probably just going to be a one and done type of thing. Okay, so let's talk about emotional hunger. And the way that this is broken down, it's into four categories. So first, we're going to talk about the desire to eat. We're then going to talk about the type of food that you choose to eat. We're then going to talk about the satisfaction that you feel during and after eating. And then we're also going to talk about the emotional feelings that you feel during and after eating. So we're going to do that for emotional hunger, and then we're going to do that for true hunger. So the thing with emotional hunger is it can really make you feel powerless. It feels all-consuming, like I was talking about, like this immediate feeling of, oh my gosh, I have to go and eat right now. So that's the desire. It hits you really quickly. It hits you really abruptly. It's that voice in your head. Maybe you resonate with this, maybe you don't, but that voice in your head that's like, just go eat. Like, get a snack now, go to the kitchen, find something to eat, shove it in your mouth, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. It feels very urgent. Like, it has to happen right this second. It feels like a really deep craving, right? Like your body is just like, go eat now, or your mind is telling you, just go eat now. It feels very powerful, and it can make you sometimes feel a little bit powerless. Like, oh gosh, I have to do this now. If I don't do this now, something bad is going to happen. And the problem with emotional hunger is that we get into these habitual patterns where we feel that desire to just go eat, and we give in, and then it becomes a habit. And it's like, oh, okay, when I feel this, I do this. When I feel this, I do this. And that's how we can become long-term emotional eaters, or even binge eaters. One of the things that helped me the most in overcoming my disordered eating was recognizing this is a habit, and I get to change the way that I show up, but it requires me having that desire and not giving in, and having that desire again and not giving in, so I can break that habitual pattern of the way that I've been showing up in my life. So that's the desire for emotional hunger. Hits you quickly, very abrupt, feels really urgent, like have to go and eat this right now. The type of food that you're generally going to turn to in emotional hunger are going to be comfort foods and things for you that you generally have cravings around, right? So if there are foods that you normally go to, like chips or cookies or crackers or cheese or whatever those kind of comfort foods have been for you, that's normally the type of food that you're going to turn to. Most people don't get, at least I've never worked with a woman who has had an emotional hunger cue and then said, I'm going to go eat a big bowl of berries. Maybe you do, and maybe that's your truth. Everybody is so different. But the type of food that you're normally going to turn to is something like snacky, something that brings you comfort, something that's rich and delicious and heavy, but also is not going to satisfy you the way that a normal balanced meal would. A lot of times, what I noticed to be true for myself when I was emotionally eating was there were a lot of triggers from seeing food or smelling food. And social media, I think, can be a big trigger. Commercials on TV can be a big trigger. Like if you ever see somebody eating something and all of a sudden you want to have it, it's like, oh gosh, that's a craving and I have to go have that now. What I started doing when I was feeling that way with food was I would stop myself and I would say, did I actually want cookies or crackers or pizza or whatever it was? Did I actually want that before I saw somebody else eating it? And that answer is probably no. So if I didn't really want it before I saw it, I actually don't really want it or need it. So I'm going to choose to say no to it. And that requires a level of self-discipline and a level of saying, I'm not going to give in to this emotional hunger. I'm really going to honor my body and recognize I'm not truly hungry right now. I didn't really need that, so I'm not going to have it. So that's the type of food that you would generally turn to, something that comforts you, something that is kind of habitual for you, something that is not really going to nourish you or make you leave the meal feeling like, oh, that was delicious. Now I'm satisfied, right? So let's talk about the satisfaction of emotional hunger. What I found to be true for myself was that when I was emotionally eating, it was never enough. Never enough. Like even during some of my binges, I would eat 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000 calories in a very short period of time. And it never felt like enough. I could feel physically sick. Like my stomach could be killing me. And I'd say, I'm just going to go and lay down for a couple of minutes. I'm going to unbutton my pants. And I would tell myself mentally, like, you're not going to go back in the kitchen. Like this is it. You're done for the day. But 5, 10, 15 minutes later, after that big feeling of stuffedness past, it was like, okay, there's room for more. There was never enough food. There was never satisfaction. And what I found to be true for myself is that was because the hunger that I was trying to feed wasn't actually located in my stomach. I was trying to feed something beyond true physical hunger. I was trying to feed something in my mind and in my heart and in my emotions. It was impossible to fill that void with food. If the hunger isn't located in your tummy, food isn't going to fill it. So sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what do I actually need right now? And that's the hard stuff. The deep inner work of this, we think it's all about food, but it's really not. It's so much deeper than food. It's so much bigger than food. It's so much more about your relationship with yourself and improving that. Because when you do that, you're not going to need the food to try and fill a void that's actually a void within your heart or within the way that you're feeling or within the loneliness that you're experiencing or the fear or the sadness or whatever. Give yourself what you actually really need and you won't need the food anymore to try and feel that. And then the fourth and final piece of emotional hunger is the feeling. And this is what I was talking about a couple of minutes ago when I said, this is one of the biggest things that's been critical in me really healing my relationship with food. After emotional eating, how do you feel? You're left with all of these negative feelings of shame and regret and disappointment and sadness, right? And you feel like, oh man, why did I do that? Why am I like this? What's wrong with me? Why can't I just stop eating? You become really ashamed of your actions, and that generally leads to even more self-sabotaging behaviors, right? Because the reason you started eating was maybe because you felt bad to begin with, and then you eat and then you feel worse. And then what do you do to try and cope with those worse feeling feelings? You eat more and then you feel worse. This is the cycle that I lived in for most of my life. It was feel bad, eat, feel worse, eat more, feel even worse, eat more, and just keep going until it was time to go to bed. There were days where I went through that cycle 5, 10, 15, 20 times. Because I just kept trying to fill this void of disappointment and shame and guilt and sadness within myself that I was never going to be able to fill with food. And again, if you're experiencing this, I just want you to know that I love you and I'm sorry and I see you, because I know how emotionally heavy all of this feels. I know what it feels like to live your life and thinking, I'm never going to overcome this. I'm never going to break free from these patterns of behaviors. But I just want you to know, even if right now it feels impossible, even if right now it feels like this is something you could never achieve in your life, I just want you to hold on to a glimmer of hope that it is possible for you and refuse to quit, because you can become a woman who honors her true hunger. You can become a woman who respects her body. You can become a woman who has the capacity to feel your emotions and deal with your emotions in a loving and compassionate and gentle and kind way towards yourself. I was having a conversation with a client today who was so heartbroken over something in her life. And we've been working on improving her relationship with food, and we're working on her building a business. And something that she said to me today was, thank you so much because you have taught me how to love myself every step of the way. Everything that I go through in my life, I get to love myself through it. And I never imagined I would be a woman like that. And that is the kind of woman that I want to build every woman who comes into my world to, whether you just listen to my podcast or whether you're in my group programs or you're my private client. If you are in my world, I want to build you into a woman who knows she has the capacity to deal with her shit, but most importantly, a woman who is going to love herself every step of the way, because you are worthy and deserving of that. Okay, so we've talked about emotional hunger. Now let's talk about what true hunger looks like. So again, we're going to talk about it as far as the desire, the type, the satisfaction, and the feeling. So the desire for true hunger, it takes time to develop. It comes on more slowly. It doesn't feel demanding. It doesn't feel urgent. It doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, go eat now. It feels more like I could eat. And I actually learned that phrase from my husband because he has been a really huge model for me in improving my relationship with food. And that's something that he always says. Like, I'll be like, oh, are you hungry? He'll say, well, I could eat. Like, there's no urgency there. There's no demand for it there. It's just like, yeah, like, actually, I am a little bit hungry. I could eat. It's more casual. It's more gentle. It develops over time. You know what true hunger feels like. It's just a matter of you tapping back into that. Because often, if you're living in these cycles of, like, overconsumption followed by over-restriction, it's really hard to recognize what true hunger feels like for you because you're kind of always living in a place where you're not honoring that on either end of the spectrum. If you're overconsuming, a lot of times we don't even give ourselves the time to experience the true hunger because we're just like, eat, 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 eat all day long. It's like an eating marathon and it never stops. And on the other end of that, when we're heavily restricting, it's like we're doing everything that we can to avoid acknowledging our true hunger because we're following a strict and strategic plan where it feels like I only get to eat this many calories. So we become really detached from honoring that intuitive side of us. And it, like I said before, it takes time to redevelop that, rebuild that, and create that connection with yourself again, but it is possible for you to do that. The type of food that you're going to choose with true hunger, it's going to feel like more of a variety. It's more of when you think about a balanced meal, what is that going to look like, right? I always suggest that my clients do this activity where they create a list of neutral foods for themselves, foods that aren't comfort foods, foods that aren't things that they typically binge on or turn to in moments of emotion or stress or boredom, but a list of foods that they enjoy, that they think are delicious, but they aren't things that they would particularly overconsume. And I encourage my clients when they're reconnecting to their true hunger to take a look at that list of neutral foods when they're beginning to feel like they're hungry and so that they can identify, is this an emotional hunger or is this a true hunger? Take a look at that list of neutral foods and say, do any of these sound appealing to me? And if that answer is yes, then giving yourself permission to eat something that is balanced and nutritious, or maybe even a snack if that's all you have available, but knowing that you do have true hunger there because the neutral foods that aren't those comfort foods for you actually sound appealing and they're things that you would choose to eat if you had access to them. But a huge piece of this is being honest with yourself, right? It'd be easy to look at a list of neutral foods and be like, yeah, fuck yeah, I would eat that. And then that's giving you permission to then go and eat a row and a half of Oreos. It comes down to if you want to create this change, you have to be honest with yourself and you have to create a level of self-accountability because at the end of the day, when you're doing this work, even if you're working with a coach or even if you're working with me or whatever that would look like for you, if you're working with a nutritionist, someone who's writing you a meal plan, a dietitian, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's you with you. And when you get home behind closed doors, nobody knows what you're doing except for you. So there's a level of radical responsibility that has to be taken and a level of radical honesty and self-accountability that you have to hold yourself to. Okay. The third piece of this is the satisfaction of true hunger. And this is huge. And this is one of the intuitive eating principles that was so life-changing for me was to discover satisfaction. Because for so much of my life with emotional eating, the way that I would consume food, it was mindless. Like, I would even go into phases where it felt like I was like actually blacked out and I wasn't even paying attention to the fact that I was eating. I was just shoveling food in my mouth as fast as I could. I wasn't tasting it. I wasn't barely chewing it. I wasn't enjoying it. There was no satisfaction there. And when I decided to really work on my relationship with food, that meant that I slowed down a ton, right? I wasn't eating mindlessly. I discovered the satisfaction. I listened to my body. I respected my body. When it told me I had enough, I know, okay, I had enough. And it took me really reconnecting with my body and figuring out, what does it look like? How does my body start to respond to me when I've reached a place of satisfaction? And this is something that you can do for yourself too. For me personally, when I'm eating a meal, I know when I've reached a level of satisfaction because my body immediately wants to take a deep breath, like a... And I know right then and there, my body is satisfied. I am good and it is time for me to stop eating. And that's when I always tell myself, okay, you're done for now. And if there's a question of, I didn't eat that much. Like, am I really satisfied? It's fine. I put the food away and I know that I have unlimited permission to come back to it. If in 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, I'm hungry again, I have permission to come back to and eat it. There's never a fear of, oh my gosh, I have to finish this now. I have to clear my plate now. I have to eat it all now because after this is gone, I'm not going to be able to eat it again. That's not a standard that I live by anymore. That's not a rule in my rule book anymore. So it's open permission to eat when I want, whenever I want, as long as I'm honoring and respecting my body. But the satisfaction that you get to have when it comes to food, a rule that I live by now is if I don't fucking like it, I'm not fucking eating it. And that comes down to, I treat cookies the same way that I treat broccoli. I have gotten cookies from stores where I'm like, this is actually not very good. I'm not eating it. If it doesn't taste delicious, I don't want it. I don't care if it's a cookie or if it's a vegetable. If it's not enjoyable to me, if it doesn't satisfy me, it doesn't deserve me eating it. And you deserve to treat your body and respect your body the same way. And the final piece of this for true hunger is the feeling. And I know, I hope that I can know with certainty that there has been a time in your life where you ate in a way that felt really good for you. And I want you to take yourself back to that place. I want you to think about when you would sit down and you would eat a balanced meal and you would take your time and you would feel really satisfied. How did you feel about yourself emotionally on the other side of that meal? There probably was no feeling. Maybe you were proud of yourself because you're working on improving your relationship with food, and I think that that's fine. But most of the time, the feelings on the other side of eating a balanced meal, a nutritious meal where you honored and respected your body, there's no emotion. It's, I ate food. I ate a meal, period. There's no, I'm a terrible person. There's no, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have done that. There's no, what in the world is wrong with me? There's none of that because all you did was eat. If there was one separation that I could encourage you to really begin creating in your life, it's to stop allowing food to make you feel like you're a good or bad person. You don't need to feel bad because you ate. You don't need to feel like a piece of crap or a failure or whatever else it is that you're calling yourself. You don't deserve to feel that way around food. And I think that when we can stop the emotional response that we feel on the other side of food, we can start to take away the power that food kind of has in our life. And when we get to do that, we feel so much less inclined to turn to food when we're feeling emotional. But this also requires you to start working on processing your emotions, allowing yourself to feel your shit, allowing yourself to sit in what it is that you're feeling, finding healthier coping mechanisms to dealing with your feelings. Maybe it's getting a journal and writing in there. Maybe it's calling a friend. Maybe it's going to therapy. Maybe it's meditating. Maybe it's breath work. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it's calling a friend. Maybe it's hiring a coach and going to her or him. Whatever that looks like for you, allow yourself a healthy and productive emotional outlet because the food isn't fixing the problem. That's not the name of one of my programs for no reason. Food does not fix your problems. Okay. It's up to you to work on fixing your problems. Don't exacerbate what's already hurting you by giving into behaviors that are only hurting you more. Okay. So I hope this podcast was eye-opening for you and helping you realize, are you emotionally eating or are you honoring your true hunger? If you're emotionally eating and you want to change that, I am here to help you as always. I'm just a message away. If you are honoring your body and respecting your hunger and fullness cues, I'm so proud of you. I know how much work that can take, especially if you've been a woman for a majority of your life that didn't do that, that didn't honor your hunger and fullness, that was eating emotionally. I love you and I commend you. And if you're struggling right now, and it's the beginning of December, it's December 1st right now when I'm recording this, there's 1 month left. And so many people, this is the time where they say, F it. I'm just going to throw in the towel. And 2022, January 1, 2022, I'm going to start fresh and I'm going to start over and it's going to be my day one. Please don't do that. Every decision that you make throughout the course of your life matters. Let go of the all or nothing thinking. Give yourself the permission to know that every effort that you take towards taking care of yourself, it's important and it's valuable and it matters, and you are worthy and deserving of being a woman who takes care of herself day in and day out, not just on January 1. Okay, not just on a Monday, not just at the start of the week, not just whenever you're telling yourself you're worthy of taking care of. You're worthy of taking care of every single day from here on out for the rest of your life. And I want to encourage you to do that. Okay, I love you so, so much. And I'll talk to you on the next episode.